Righto, now to the latest immigration detainee disgrace. A man released because of that infamous High Court ruling last year was supposedly under some form of monitoring program in WA, but according to the allegations, was still able to impersonate a police officer, trick his way into an elderly couple's home in Girraween, and then allegedly take part in the bashing of a 73-year-old grandmother as she was robbed of jewellery by the man and two others with him. Nanette Simons recently explained the trauma that she went through at the hands of one of these men.
He pushed me with such force, I hit my head with a big tennis ball here and here. Wrenched all the chains off my neck, bruising there. I said, what are you doing? What, please, you're hurting, you're going to kill me. I'm 73 years old, I'm a cancer patient. It didn't help. When I was on the floor, he had his neck in my throat.
A knee,
and he was punching me to the side. Even after I blacked out and I was on the phone, bleeding with, you know, started to bleed. Yeah, pretty brutal chap, yeah. That's what he was aiming at, just beating me up. I don't know why.
Now, the former immigration detainee in this case, Majid Jamshidi Dukush Khan, now faces 8 charges, including aggravated home burglary, unlawful assault causing bodily harm, and, of course, impersonating a police officer. He's in custody, and he won't be freed anytime soon. One would hope. But there are so many questions piling up around Dukush Khan's case. Why was he previously in detention in the first place? Why was he bailed earlier this year despite breaching curfew orders? It goes on and on. And don't expect any answers from the Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese. He used the old it's before the courts routine when quizzed by reporters this morning. Take a listen.
Well, the first thing that I'd say is that our thoughts, and I'm sure the thoughts of all Australians, will be with those who've been affected by this. It's inappropriate to comment further given it's in the middle of the investigation by WA Police. Of course, our state bail schemes are run by the states by definition as well. But given the matter is under investigation, before police and the courts, it's inappropriate to comment further.
So the feds suggesting it was a state bail bungle, are they? We'll come back to that a little bit later on. Let's have a chat now to Liberal Senator James Patterson. He's also the opposition's affairs spokesman on Home Affairs. Thanks very much for joining us, Senator.
It's good to be with you.
Okay, from your point of view, I mean, over here there's plenty of questions about this particular man now charged in relation to this very brutal bashing of this woman. There's plenty of questions. What sort of questions do you have?
Well, first of all, how this was allowed to happen at all. This is a person who shouldn't have been on the streets, shouldn't have been in the community, shouldn't have been posing a danger to Western Australians, because he's a person who was lucky to be released at all following the High Court's decision, and then, apparently, according to media reports today, has been charged with multiple visa breaches and other offences and was granted bail on 3 separate occasions. Now, why didn't the federal government use the powers that they have under the preventative detention scheme to get this person off the streets and away from the community where he couldn't do any more harm?
See, we can't figure out at this stage whether he was someone subjected to having a ankle tracker on, for example. Do you know?
We don't. All we know is that of the 153 people now released into the community, only half of them still have ankle bracelets on. So he could have been one of those people, or he could have been one of those who had been released from that responsibility and not required to be monitored. But let's remember, Andrew Giles and Claire O'Neill have promised many times that no matter who they are, all of them are being constantly monitored in the community. Now, if it's true that he's committed multiple offences, then it's hardly being constantly monitored, is it?
Well, no. And, well, that's what begs the next question. Obviously, the courts have made a decision to grant him bail despite breaches, it would appear. But wouldn't that therefore bring about a recategorisation of this person to take him to a level, because he keeps breaching curfew, that he would need to wear some sort of ankle bracelet?
Exactly right. If there are no meaningful consequences for violating the apparently tough visa conditions that are imposed on these people, well, then they will just keep breaching those conditions and they might even escalate their criminality to a degree where they do what this person is alleged to have done. And they shouldn't be able to do that because in December, the federal parliament rushed through special laws that allowed the federal government to apply for a preventative detention order that put someone who is a risk to the community off the streets. Now, if multiple breaches of your visa conditions aren't, you know, sufficient grounds for that, then I don't know what is.
Can I ask you this question? Is he any different than someone who has served time and been released and gone out and committed another crime? Of course, this was a heinous crime, but is it any different?
Yes, in my view, it is different because these people are not Australian citizens. Their visas were cancelled on character grounds because of offences they committed while they're on visas, and therefore they violated the whole contract of coming to Australia as our guest. We're a very generous country. We welcome lots of people. But if you come here and commit a crime, then your visa is cancelled. And the only reason why these people weren't able to be deported is, one, because the country of their origin wouldn't take them back, and two, they couldn't be sent to any other third country because the crime they committed was so heinous that no one would accept them. Now, it is a real privilege to be in our country, and if you violated that privilege multiple times, then you should be behind bars.
Of course, the other issue, because we haven't heard from either of the ministers responsible for these portfolios at this point, is why was Majid Ramshidi Dukeshan in detention in the first place?
Exactly right. What was his original offence that saw his visa cancelled? Is he one of the seven murderers? We don't know. Is he one of the 37 sex offenders? We don't know. Is he one of the 72 people convicted or charged with assault? We don't know. All we know is it was a sufficiently serious crime to have his visa cancelled and for him to be placed in immigration detention, only to be released following the High Court's decision. So where is Claire O'Neill today? Where is Andrew Giles today? Why aren't they answering questions? Why aren't they being transparent with the public about what's happened here?
You said yesterday that they should either resign or be sacked by the Prime Minister. Do you stand by that?
Absolutely. If they can't explain what has happened here, if they can't give the public confidence that this will never be allowed to happen again, if they can't explain why they haven't used the powers that the Parliament has given them, then their only honourable option is to resign. And if they refuse to do so, then the Prime Minister's only option is to sack them.
The situation, of course, is that there is a couple, Nanette and Philip Simmons here, who have been traumatised in such a brutal manner. And at the time, and you may not be aware, that at the time that this happened and the police were looking for leads, they released a photograph of Nanette and the injuries that she'd suffered. Now we know that someone who has managed to wriggle through the loopholes of the High Court decision. What would you say to Nanette and Philip Simons if you were talking to them?
Well, I'm sorry about what happened to you, Nanette and Philip. It should never have happened to you. You should be entitled to feel safe in your home. You should never be treated like this by people out in the community, and your government has failed you, and I'm really sorry for that.
Okay, so where does this go from here, Senator, as far as you're concerned?
Well, at some point, Claire O'Neill and Andrew Giles will have to show their faces. They can't remain in hiding forever. They'll have to answer for what they have done and what they haven't done here. And the public deserves complete and total transparency. And until they do that, then we're going to keep asking questions because the public is entitled to know.
And, of course, Peter Dutton, I know this morning, has said that his biggest concern is that something like this could happen again. Some level of serious crime could happen again. That's right, isn't it? It could.
Well, we've already had 10 former detainees breach their visa conditions. We've had 18 that we know of breach state or territory laws. It's happening all the time. This is the most serious one yet, but there will be more, I fear, and unless the federal government really gets on top of this and gets these people off the streets.
All right, Senator, appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Senator James Patterson, opposition spokesperson on Home Affairs Matters. As I said, there are questions. Now, we're sort of pulling it together bit by bit, and we'll come back in a minute and explain some of the scenarios around Western Australia and where we were in terms of a jurisdictional responsibility over this particular detainee and others when that release order sort of came up in November last year. We'll get to that in a second. Now, Peter Dutton, the opposition leader, he has been speaking, still is speaking, but we've got a bit of what he says, and he's saying that the situation around bail, and you heard Anthony Albanese, the Prime Minister, talk about how, well, you know, the bail situation is a state matter. Yes and no, because if this particular person, Dukush Khan, goes before the court in WA, state court in WA, but is under the jurisdiction at the time of the Commonwealth because he was an immigration detainee and so on bridging visas, etc., then it's up to the Commonwealth to be party to the courtroom to object if that's what they want to do. So this was Peter Dutton a short time ago.
I think the problem for the Prime Minister is that he doesn't have the strength of leadership or character to stand up against these criminals. And we know that the Prime Minister should have instructed his close factional ally, Mr. Giles, to present the evidence to the court that wouldn't have led to this dreadful circumstance. We know that the government hasn't had the bottle to pass the legislation that's required to keep Australians safe. You can't be releasing these people into the community. They're non-citizens to start with, and they're committing crimes against Australian citizens. They shouldn't be out on the streets, and we've got bail applications being made by some of these offenders. The Commonwealth's not even opposing the bail application. So the person's being released to commit the next crime. How can that happen? And how can the Prime Minister tolerate this happening on his watch?
How shocked were you by the pictures that came out?
I thought the pictures would be confronting for any decent Australian. To watch somebody be assaulted in that fashion is a terrible, terrible thing. To watch an elderly lady walk away with those bruises, to be subject to that pain, to that humiliation, to the way in which she and her husband were treated is appalling.
There you go. Well, that's the next question. And it's being reported that the Commonwealth did not oppose bail after the person now accused of being part of that aggravated robbery against this couple, when he appeared in February in relation to breaching a curfew. They did not oppose bail. So that brings up the question of, well, you remember in November when it all went pear-shaped in terms of that High Court decision and people had to be released, but the federal government was saying, yeah, but don't you worry, we'll be monitoring these people. We will pick them up as soon as they do something wrong, and if there's an opportunity to put them back behind bars or in detention, then that's what will happen. Well, if the Commonwealth don't even oppose bail, then how on earth is the magistrate supposed to make a decision to keep that person in custody in any way, shape or form? It's a really interesting point. Now let's go to the lines. Pete's there. G'day, Pete.
Okay, how you going? I've got a bit of a sore throat because of COVID, but I'd like to say that, firstly, Albo shouldn't be using Morrison's line that it's the state's problem, because it's a federal problem, there's no doubt. And if these people are so bad that no other country is going to accept them, and we can't force them on anybody else. We can't just keep locking them up in hotel detention either. If you have to let them out and they've done time, then the first time they do one crime, even if it's spitting on the sidewalk, then they're back in a real jail. Mm. That's what I reckon we should have had a referendum on immigration right from the start. And I'll tell you what, it wouldn't have got up. It wouldn't be anywhere near like it is now.
Yeah.
It's obviously not working for us.
Well, that's what average punters out there will be questioning, the fact that, all right, so you get stymied by a High Court decision, okay? You know, the law's the law, decisions are made, you got to deal with it. Surely the way you do deal with it, when you realise that you're up against the wall because of the High Court decision, is that you get one more opportunity to put that person back into detention in some way, shape or form, because they have breached the conditions, the orders that they were released under, then seriously, you don't do that? Well, then you've only got yourself to blame. This mess involving the assault of this couple is now squarely at the feet of the federal government. We haven't heard from the various ministers, immigration and home affairs ministers in the Albanese government yet. I'm not sure where they are. Maybe they're on holiday.